So I'm John Holzer, one of the elders here, and it's been Penny and I's privilege, my wife Penny, in case you don't know us, and we've been attending here for many years. But one of the interesting things is about 35 years ago, Pastor Paul Daniel came to Green Bay, and we were able to host him, like he'd slept in at our place, and that was pretty cool. And since then, we've had kids and all this other stuff. But every couple of years or so, he comes and visits us. So Pastor Paul Daniel is from the, I would say, the southeast side of India. And that's where his mission is. And one of the neat things that we get to do is to honor him in receiving him and then supporting him and sending him. So we want him to continue that mission that he's on. One of the interesting things about yesterday, we celebrated 250 years since the Declaration of Independence. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for us, about. It's coming up on that year. So we get to think about how to commemorate that two millennia of progress. So we think of the nation starting from some people saying, I'm not going to serve that king anymore. And then we think of the nation of the church, I'm going to serve that king. And there's a great contrast here of the country and the kingdom. But at the same time, once you start, then the hard work begins. And Pastor Paul Daniel has been fruitful and faithful in working toward building the kingdom. And that's why we want to celebrate him coming. So if we can have a round of applause. Now after that, after he speaks, we'll have an offering. There'll be some baskets and a time to talk to him if you'd like. And we've been preparing this kind of like in the New Testament. And I'll mention more about that before the offering. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Especially thank Pastor and Pastor Sally for having me here, opening the door to share about my ministry. And thank you very much for all the help you have done to bless the Indian ministry. And I always remember Brother John and his wife Penny. Ever since as he said, 35 years back, I came to know about him. Since that time, in those days, I used to come here every 3 years and then every other year. And then because of COVID, I could not come for a long time. And 2 years back, I made a visit. And I thank you all for your support. And I thank Brother John and Penny for their generous offering for the particular room for us to stay in. Always we stay in that room. We enjoy their company. And when their children were little, Caitlin was not even born, you know? Yeah, I know them. And may the Lord bless you for your kind heart. And now, first of all, I would like to show a few slides of my ministry to you, and then share a little bit about my ministry and a little bit about the word of the Lord. First, we will go to the slides, and I have 12 slides here to show you, and I explain them one after another. Number one, this is a baptism tank I built about 3 years back. It's a beautiful baptism tank. We allow other pastors also to come and baptize those who accepted the Lord. So every other month or once in 3 months, we collect the people from different churches, our churches, and baptize them there. It is a beautiful baptism tank. If anyone wants to know and if you want to be baptized, please come to India. Number two, these are the people. I have not brought all the pictures. These are the people after baptism. They were baptized, and most of them in my church, 95% people are from Hinduism, and Out of 100, 90 are from low caste people. So these are some of the people who are baptized. And I have another picture. This is also the young people who were baptized in the baptism tank. And then when they are baptized, I usually give them free Bible. And also whenever people need, I distribute free Bibles to them. And this is in one place, I gave a few Bibles to people. So every now and then, whenever Bible is needed, we buy Bible and distribute them free of cost. And then this is the house dedication. I don't know whether you have it here or not. I want to introduce this to you. When someone in the church builds a house, they always want the pastor to come and cut the ribbon. The one thing I like about the house dedication is that we get basket full of fruits and plate full of sweets. But so I tell the people, may the Lord bless you all. Every month you have to have a house dedication so that Paul, Daniel, and Ronnie will get nice sweets. I cannot eat those things, and I bring them back to my place and give them to the poor people there. And then the sixth slide. This food is prepared on the street. When we have some function, we have the liberty of making the street as cooking room. So nobody objects, you know. They say, oh, go ahead. Because, you know, they think that it is a celebration and that's how we make it. It's a biryani. The thing you see there is biryani. On special occasions, we make biryani. If you want to taste it, my wife is good at making biryani. And she just charges $5,000 per hour, 1 hour. Yeah, she's a very good cook. I've been praying for, before my marriage, praying for a wife who could prepare nice food for me. Because I have an alarm here. 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, ring, 6 o'clock, ring. So that means hungry, hungry, hungry. So I pray to the Lord. Lord, I know how to do the ministry, but I want a wife. She should know how to cook for Paul Daniel. So we got married. I told the story how I got my wife, you know. How many of you know that? How I got my wife? How many of you? Don't know. Okay. I've been praying for a wife. Yes. Even now, some of the young people here are praying for the wife. But in India, there is no dating. If you have dating, then you have beating from your parents. So we just tell the parents, you know, the parents tell what kind of girl you want to marry. Then they share, then they go to the house of a girl, and the girl comes there, and they make her to walk to see whether her hair is 5 feet long or 6 feet long. You should see the girl walking, you know. So the hair, it goes like a pendulum, it goes. And then they want to see how she walks. And they want to drink a cup of coffee she makes. Finally, that's for first round. You know, you will have about 50 people from the boy's side. And they feed you. And the father of the boy says, we don't want to eat anything unless there is we come to a decision. So the first round is over. The second round, they come. I'm not talking about Christians. This is generally. And they come to the house of the girl and say, how much dowry will you give to your daughter? 50,000 rupees or 100,000 rupees? And then they say, what kind of ornaments you will give her? And what kind of motorcycle or car you will give to my son? And the negotiation will be done. In India, it's a very bad habit, you know, talking about that. Dowry and all. Nowadays, we are getting rid of it. And finally, they come together and fix the date. And meanwhile, the boy is not allowed to see the girl. That is the biggest problem. The boy wants to see the girl, talk to her. No. So I thought I have to find a girl. I I came across about 8 girls. But I said, no. Because someone precious was waiting for me, I knew in my spirit. So one day, a pastor, he's the secretary of a big organization. I don't want to mention the name. Big organization. He called me and said, I have a daughter, and would you like to marry her? I said, okay. Then he said, I never saw her. Then he said, if you marry her, you have to resign your ministry in the place where you are doing the ministry and come to our fellowship. I said, oh my goodness, even now he is very bossy, and how he will be in the future. So I came home with my friend. My friend was all the time there. And I said, do you have any telephone here? In those days, if you apply for a connection, it will take 5 years. So many of the people did not have telephones. So he took me to my wife's Rani's sister's house. They had a telephone. I called this man and said, pastor, and said, no, pastor, I'm not going to marry your daughter. Then my friend just pushed me like this. Look inside. I said, it's not polite to look into the house. He said, you have to. So I looked there. 2 girls were standing there. Would you like to marry? Hey, I can marry only one. How can he ask me to see 2 girls there? No. The one standing behind her. Oh, and Rani was looking at me. Marry me. Without talking, without saying anything, I told my friend, okay, is she a saved one? Yes. Has she received the Holy Spirit? Yes. Is she a member of a church? Yes. Then I will marry her. That's all. Then I met her in the marriage. But the sad thing is, in our weddings, people have wedding cakes. We didn't have wedding cakes. That was sad part. But after that, I started buying cake after cake after cake to my wife. So that is how I got married. So coming back to the Indian tradition, our culture, so they finally decide how to date of marriage and things to be given to the boy and dowry to be given to the boy, place of marriage, everything comes to a decision. And finally they print the invitation, and it will bear about 100 names of the close relatives, grandpa, grandpa's grandpa. Then my uncle, mother's side, father's side, 100 names will be there. One time when I was doing a wedding, there was a big commotion going on in the back. I said, what is wrong with those people? And one man says, his name should come in the list, first in the list. So what are you going to do? We don't know, pastor. He's trying to stop the marriage. So I said, call him here. He came there. Sir, what they have done is entirely wrong. They should not have done this. You are the elder brother. So next wedding, I'll see that your name comes first. That's it. He went away. You shouldn't have kind of, you know, how to deal the problem, you know. He went away. So during wedding time, during funeral time, we have lots and lots of problems. So that's how the wedding takes place there. And so during wedding time, during church dedication, or during house dedication, we are permitted to have the food cooked on the street. It's a nice food. And maybe next time we come here, Rani will be the chief cook. We'll all stay here and we will enjoy biryani. Amen. Okay. And she charges only $50 for each plate. And then I'm going to share with you about the next slide, please. These are the church pictures. I brought only 2. I have 18 churches in different places, and 7 churches had been built in brick and cement. Beautiful one, but not like this huge one. No, it can accommodate about 100 people. So in one church during Christmas time, we had a gathering outside the church. And I usually preach that. These are the members of the church. In the other picture, this is another church. And the pastor of the church who was with me, he died when he was 46. And so his wife and the two girls did not know what to do. So she said, "Pastor, could you please come and help us for a few months?" So actually, it's one of our churches. I said, "Okay, we'll come there." So both Ronnie and I used to go there and started preaching. And 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and she says, "Please, please, Pastor, this year also." I preach the next year, Pastor, this year also. So like that, it has been, until now, I am taking care of the church. And when I took charge of the church, there were hardly 20 people in the church. Now we have 120 people in the church. I thank you for your prayers. And here I want to show something. The extreme left, the previous one, please. The extreme left, the boy, his hand is in his pocket. He is my younger boy, a naughty boy. And the one next to him is my older boy, older son, and his wife, he was like a baby at the time. Now he is 5 years old. And these are all believers. And the great man of God is sitting in the middle, Paul Daniel. And his wife is sitting by his side. And this is one of the churches. Each church we have about not less than 100 people. So 7 churches and 18 churches. Other churches are in thatched roof. And we still, trying to build the buildings in that place also. This place needs an extension. So we started the extension. It stopped halfway. So after going from here, whatever I get from friends and churches here, I will use the money to the churches there. To be honest with you, I never save money, and I never buy anything for me, land or property, nothing. I just give away the money to the ministry. If you ask my wife, I'll ask Rani, if I have 100,000 rupees, you know what I will do? You know that? Yes. "Show me your hand," she says. I show my hand. There is a hole here between these fingers. And she says, "You receive the money and it will all go in the hole." So she says, "You will give away the money." And that's how I've been brought up. It's a big story. I learned it from my father. And now this is that church I'm taking care of. And these are the workers, gospel workers trained by us. They came to one church and they attend our studies, and then we train them, sending them two by two to different villages. And the next picture we see, this is the last church we built in brick and cement. I dedicated this church in the month of May before coming here, and it's a beautiful church. And one of the boys who were trained in the ministry in that group, We gave him to take over the church, and he was unmarried at the time, and we got him married. And now during his marriage, he had only 2,000 people attending, not more, only 2,000 people. So people used to ask me, "Have you ever been to a wedding in the U.S.? "Yes." "How many people will be there?" I should say maximum 150 people. "My goodness, is it a marriage or what?" they say. Because in India, 2,000 is minimum amount. It will go up to 3,000. Then now, and we also continue to distribute the saris to the widows. And we have 8 villages. In 8 villages, we have widows, and we buy saris. Rani, if you don't mind, could you please stand up? That is the sari Rani wearing. So we buy that kind of sari. It's almost $10 to $12, and we buy. Last year we gave about 100 saris to the widows in different villages. That's one of our ministry. And I go to Bible schools and I teach. If you Bible school, I teach. That's my small ministry. Yarpa. Oh, these are the people, poor people who received the saris. And another village. So like that, 8 villages we used to go. And I think that's all for now. I like to thank you once more for all your generous help. And now a few words from the word of the Lord. And I taught my wife sign language. I'm expected to preach till 11:25. And I told her, when I look at you, if you say, go, go. And if I exceed the time, say. So you don't be offended if I just admire my wife and I look at her for a sign language. So praise the Lord. And I was reading the other day the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 12. Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 12. The disciples returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. One more time. The disciples returned to Jerusalem from Mount of Olives. Jesus collected them to the mount, and he was about to be taken up. And when he was about to be taken up, they were all looking at Jesus. They may be thinking, hereafter we are not going to see Jesus or something else. All of a sudden, a cloud comes there. And Jesus goes in the cloud to his Father. In the Old Testament, we read, the cloud is the chariot of God. And when Jesus was going up, the two standing there, it is not mentioned that they were angels. It is not mentioned that they were Elijah and Moses. Nothing is mentioned about them. But the two people appeared there and said, the same Jesus who was taken above before you, he will appear in the same manner. Yeah. First time when Jesus was born, when he descended from heaven, the angels appeared and said, told the birth of Jesus. Now two appear and they tell about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not my subject. Second coming is not my subject right now. But my question is, why did they go to Jerusalem? Because the school started at Capernaum. When Jesus was born, he was born in the manger, and then he came to Bethlehem and lived for 2 years. And then he was warned by God, and he went with his mother and Joseph to Egypt. And there for a few years he lived and came back and then went to Nazareth. And from Nazareth, when he was 30, he went to Capernaum. That was the headquarters of Jesus' ministry. From then onwards, he started to teach his people, his disciples. What was he teaching? He was teaching from the Old Testament. That was the subject. Even before he went back to his father, when the two disciples were so sad returning to their village, he talked to them from the books of Moses, from the books of Psalm, and from the books of the prophets. So his work was to explain his disciples what was told about him in the Old Testament. It is not just Jesus. There were many Jesus living during his time. We all know that in the Bible there is a bar Jesus mentioned. Bar Jesus. Many Jesus, because Jews believed the promise of the Lord in Genesis 3:16. So they thought, maybe that seed may be my child. So almost every village, every town, they had at least 20 Jesus. So if you go to the village and ask for Jesus, they will ask you, Katta Jesus, Netta Jesus, Kutta Jesus. That is my language. Katta Jesus means big man Jesus. Or Netta Jesus means tall man Jesus. Or Kutta Jesus means short man Jesus. Because there are so many Jesus in this village. But they all knew the meaning, but that they did not know in whom that meaning will be fulfilled. Everywhere they had Jesus. They knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. They were actually looking for Messiah at the time. They didn't believe that Jesus would be Messiah. Jesus is an earthly name, is a human name. We sang songs about the name of Jesus. Long back, one man came to United States of America from India. He didn't know English. One day he wanted to go to a shop. So Indian shops always have a handle to open the door. Now the door of the shop did not have a handle. He thought, how can I go into the shop? He slowly started saying the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. He came close to the door. Bang! He didn't know that, you know, it they use sensor to open it. So after coming back to India, everywhere he was invited, he used to preach about the Jesus door. So Jesus began to teach the disciples for 3.5 years from Capernaum. And he took them for practical work also. And finally, now, the time comes that he will not be known as Jesus anymore. He is Jesus, but he's going to give them another name. He's not Jesus, he is Jesus Christ. Another one, Lord Jesus Christ. Now the work of Jesus was done on the cross of Calvary. Now on the mountaintop, before that 40 days, he was teaching about the kingdom of God, about him as a resurrected man. They returned to Jerusalem. In the Bible, if you read about Jerusalem, you will read about 800 times in the Bible. Jerusalem is nothing but a place of peace. But Jerusalem is given an importance to the Jews, to the Hebrews. It starts with Abraham. Abraham went with 380 people, well trained. He won the war. The kings could not stand against him. Then he brought his brother Lot and all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He freed them and was bringing them home. And then the king of Sodom comes and says, take all the plunder, all the plundering, all that we plundered from the enemies, take it. Wherever we go, people say, we don't understand Rani. Why? For everything she says, what is that? And what is that? I said, if she says this, give, give, give. If she says this, no, 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 no. And Abraham stood there still and said, no. I will not take a lace of a shoe from you. He knew who he was, the king was. He will go and tell other people, I made Abraham rich. I made Abraham rich. You are not the one who is going to make me rich, but God. So he returns and comes there. He meets a man. I don't know, man or what. I don't want to interpret that. I don't want to go deep into that. Melchizedek comes there. Melchizedek. He comes to Living Hope Church. That happened to be a communion day. When you were all participating in the communion, I thought, this is from Melchizedek. And he said, you wanted to see the one who's going to die on the cross, isn't it, Abraham? Yes. Now I bring his body. This is his body. This is his blood. So he had a communion service to the victorious man Who was Melchizedek? I'm not going to talk about Melchizedek. Was he Jesus? Was he a Holy Spirit? Was he someone else? No, that's not my subject. But he came with a communion there. About him, the Bible says he was the king of Jerusalem. He was God's priest. Those two words. King and priest. So what is special in Jerusalem? Daniel says, oh no, I'm not going to obey the king's command. I was told not to worship our God, but I will not obey him. Our God is there to protect us. So he opened the windows. Everywhere Daniel went, he will for a house. He will buy or rent a house where he will have a window facing Jerusalem. Now he opens the windows and kneels down towards Jerusalem and starts to pray. So what is special in Jerusalem? In Psalm 122, it says, I was so happy when my feet stood at the gates of Jerusalem. And if you read that verse, Psalm, carefully, you will understand that in Jerusalem, there is a temple, there is a palace. God's intention, design, and God's plan was to have a temple as well as a palace. In the temple, the priest serves. In the palace, the king serves. They were known as the two shepherds of the people of Jews. We talk about so many shepherds. In the Bible, we read about so many shepherds. But the true shepherd who were provided to the people of Jews were two. One will look up and look at God. The other will look down, look at people. The one has full of compassion. The other has full of courage. The priest always, bows down before God. He's humble. But the king sits on the throne and in a majestic way. The two places were so important. In other words, the Jews called those two places as the two eyes of Jews. One worship center, the other where they learn to fight war. One to worship, one to war against the enemies. One to bring the people to the presence of God. The other is to bring the people to the battlefield. One is to receive grace and mercy and compassion from God. And then the other has to receive power and courage from the Lord. One, the people should have strength to go boldly into the very presence of God. Because in the Old Testament, as you all know, that not all the people were allowed in to go to the most holy place. Here, a man from India can come and stand. Man from Africa can come and stand. Anyone can come and stand here. Oh, no. In the temple, they had the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, and the court of the men, and then the court of the Levites, and then the court of the priests, and then the court of the high priest, and then the court of Father God. You will find it in no book. It's my imagination. Sometimes imagination is good. A man comes in a chariot. When he comes on the road, people just move away because they have never seen such a kind of chariot. An Ethiopian is sitting on the chariot and the horses are galloping towards the temple. He came to see something in the temple. So when he came, he stepped down and he began to walk into the beautiful gate. You all know that there was a gate by name, Beautiful Gate. But to me, it is not a beautiful gate because there was something written on the top of the gate. Even if a person is a Roman, If he transgresses and tries to come enter the temple beyond this limit, he will be executed. Even the Romans cannot go into the temple. That is a privilege given by the Roman government. And he comes there and sees he reads it and says, I am from Ethiopia. I am the secretary of finance. I am next to the king. They said, no, whoever you might be, you are not allowed to come into this place. So where should I go? Go. 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 That's law. Law never allows you to come. Say, never says come. 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 And go. 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 When Jesus started to preach, he said, come unto me. But the Jews, their law, it said go. So he goes away from there. He goes away from there. He goes away from there. And there was a wall. And by the side of wall, there was a fence. And they said, you can stay here. Okay, it's okay. I just came here to hear the bleating of the dying sheep. That is the purpose why I took so much of pain to come from Ethiopia to here. Can I hear that? Yeah, you stay there. When the sheep is slaughtered on the altar, it will give you a peculiar bleating and you will listen to it. I don't know whether I told this to you in my previous trip. Usually, the sheep, how do they make noise? If it is my church, the people will say, bah. How do the sheep in the field bleat? But now he comes, man who owns David's mutton shop. You know, we call the meat mutton. And he takes one sheep and puts it on the back of his bicycle, goes to the butchering place. So I wanted to see how they kill it, and I wanted to hear how they make noise. So I followed. And here he takes the sheep from the bicycle and takes it to the place where he was to butcher it. Now, one man is holding the head tightly, the other the feet tightly so that it cannot move. This man takes a dagger. So far I thought, in the Old Testament they took swords to kill the animal on the altar. But then I came to know it was not a sword, it was just a dagger which Peter used. So here he begins to cut the throat. And I listen to the voice. It is not bah. It was different. Bah. Bah. Dying sheep. So he came all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to hear the voice of the dying sheep. The dying sheep spoke. Just before he was crucified and after crucifixion, he spoke seven words. In India, those seven words are meditated during the time of Good Friday. My people ask me, you don't go to church on Good Friday? I say, all Fridays are good to me. So they will ask, Brother Moses will come and talk about the first word. And then Brother David will come and talk about the second word. They were all uttered. They were all spoken when the Lamb was dying on the cross of Calvary. If you read those seven words and meditate, you will come to your decision. Those are the words a Christian has to follow. I have no time to share about it. I can do it still. Go up to 1 o'clock. But next time I come here, pastor will say, no more Daniel here. I don't want to get into trouble. I read it one time. What a beautiful word. The Lamb whose death was natural, whose death was unnatural, whose death was preternatural, whose death was supernatural. His death is not a simple death. When he was dying, he didn't care about his pain. He started to speak the last time before the cross, the seven important message a church has to have. If only we read those seven messages and walk according to the messages, the church will be a successful church. But now, could you please excuse me for making one more time the bleating of a sheep when I say, and I am dying sheep on the altar, you are all sheep alive. So where are the sheep in the temple? Between the coat of the woman and coat of the men, there was a place where they had the oxen, sheep, and the doves and coin exchanging place. They had between women and men. A dirty place. I read about it one time. Dirty place. They said it is more convenient for the people to have access to this because they have to go to the faraway market to buy a sacrifice for the Lord. All of them were inferior. If the sheep has to have 1 million hair, it will have 90,000. Who counts? Who is going to count? So they were forced to buy it because it was known as Anna, the high priest Anna market, business place. The temple had become the place of business. And Caiaphas and Annas were dominating it. Now Jesus came there one time when he was on the earth and he chased them away. Get out of here. This is not a place. This is not a business place. In our place, in our country, I am very sorry to say that few churches have become business churches. And more than that, I don't want to use that. I may offend you, or I don't know about your beliefs here. So when all the sheep in between the men and women make noise, how do they make the noise, please? Here is the dying lamb. Lamb is also going to speak. Could you please make it one more time? Why didn't you hear me? Because your noise were dominating and my noise could not go through you. So this fellow is standing here and the sheep is here and all the sheep and animals are there. They are making such a great noise that fellow was not able to listen to the voice of the dying lamb. The world wants to hear from the cross. The message from the cross. I'm so sad to say some places my people say, if you come to the church, you will be all right. If you are baptized, you will be all right. Your sickness will go. No. I don't think so. Because if you confess your sin and accept the Lord, then the blessing begins. When you become a believer, with all your heart you say, I want to be baptized. If you are baptized, the blessing begins. It is not the baptism, it is not coming to the church that will bless you. It's time for us to take the seven kinds of message to the world and share to them about it. Here we see in the temple the priest. There we see a king in his palace. Jesus Christ is the priest. He was full of compassion. When he saw a dead man, dead young man in the coffin, he saw the tears of the widow, and that boy was the only son of the widow. He goes close to the coffin and touches. By touching the coffin of the young man, death started to flow in him, and life started to flow into that man. When he touched the leper, the leprosy flew into Jesus. Not literally. He took it. He took all our sicknesses and pains. And then the cleanliness or the purity of Jesus went from him to that man. When Jesus was dying, he was dying in our place, but he was crying in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, Father, if it is your will, please take away the cup." Jesus came to die. Now he is afraid to die. Strange. Some people preach he was still a human being. He was still in the flesh. So it made him to be frightened. He was so scared. He was so afraid. But I don't think so. He was praying to God, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me." It's not the death, but the cup. Because according to Psalm 11:6, it is said, our sins are in the cup. So now, what he is going to do is, he's going to take all the sins of the world upon him. When he does it, he will not become a sinner, he will become a sin for us. Yeah. When Father looks at it, his eyes, the word of God says, his eyes never look at sin.
That's right.
So, that is why Jesus cried on the cross of Calvary, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" He didn't want to lose the presence of his Father, not even for 1 second. They were so close. If you read John's Gospel, you will see the intimacy of the Father and the Son. Because the Son was doing all the good things the Father expected, the Father never allowed him to be alone. All the time he was there. Every morning he will come there. And when he is praying, you'll teach him what to preach, what to share. In other words, Jesus was scared about losing the presence of his Father. In the same way, Jesus came to this world and brought us back to the presence of the God. In Hebrews 4th chapter, we read, "Let us boldly draw close to God." Where is the place? It is not the court. It is not the holy place. It is not the most holy place. It is the place where God dwells between the cherubims. So Jesus came to us so that he can take us to the very presence of God. In order to do that, he tore the veil that was prohibiting the people to entering into the most holy place. He broke the walls. He nailed the law which were against us. By doing so, he paved a way for us to go into the very presence of God. Now, one more thing we have to learn. Jesus taught the heavenly God is our Father. But we also have to learn one more word, Abba. Who's going to teach Abba? Jesus taught that we call his Father as our Father. Then now, Christ comes to the earth. Otherwise, Jesus poured the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when he is in us, he is helping us to call not only Father, Abba, Abba, Father. In India, we call our fathers not Father, Dad. We call him Abba. Abba is a friendly name, close name. So they were returned to Jerusalem because that is the place where the Holy Spirit is going to come. He is going to be the mediator. He is going to speak for them. He is going to bring the presence of Christ to them. The first one went up to heaven and was seated by the side of his Father. Now he sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches us how to worship. So the first place, temple, is a place where we can learn how to worship the Lord. Yeah. Now, second thing, to make it brief in 3 minutes, please. 3 minutes, please. The second place, palace. We cannot go to devil and say, I am God's child, and God taught me how to be compassionate. I am very compassionate with you, Satan. No. This is how we pray. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We don't use, Satan, will you go from him? When are you going to go? Promise me the day and the date. No. We can be like that in the presence of God, worshiping. But here, we have a war against Satan. And that is a war, it is taught by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on the earth, he was a priest, he was a king. He was a priest teaching them the presence of God. He was a king sending them away to the world and to set the people free. Now the same thing the Holy Spirit does, he takes us to the very presence of God, makes us worshippers of God. At the same time, he gives us power so that we can go and win Satan and win the people who are lost in sin. May the Lord God take us today back to Jerusalem and show us, this is my temple, this is my palace. I have got so much to preach, and after 11:30 I'm going to have the second session here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, we praise you for your wonderful presence, for giving us the word, the whole word, through which we can learn all the heavenly things, O God. Your word is a light and a lamp, which leads us in our way. Bless this church, O God, with your presence, with your power. As a priest, Lord, give them your presence. As the king, give them your power. Lord God, I pray that you continue to be in this church and use them for your glory. May they be instruments in your hands to bring hundreds and hundreds of people to your fold. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.